Again, we'd like to turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We'll just read the first two verses. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. 107th Psalm is somewhat lengthy, 43 verses. It's the seventh longest of the Psalms. We see that it opens with a note of exclamation. We see that in the very first word, all. So it opens with a note of exclamation, which sets the tone for the psalm. It shows that it is a tone of joy, tone of excitement, one that involves great emotion. The subject of the psalm is redemption. And the objects of the psalm are the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord. As you look at the psalm, it, as most of the psalms do, it divides itself in a very orderly way. The psalmist paints many word pictures or uses many illustrations to illustrate the redemption that's in the Lord. And these pictures that he draws, of course, are basically redemption stories. And they present, as we said this morning, the predicament, the condition of the redeemed prior to redemption. We see this people crying to the Lord, and then we see the Lord coming to them and rescuing and sparing the individual. So what's illustrated is the actual event of redemption. The redemption of the Lord, of course, reveals God's goodness, and the psalmist mentions that in the first verse, mentions his mercy, illustrates his grace, his loving kindness, also the power of the Lord to be a redeemer. So it is a psalm of God's enduring love for the purpose of redeeming. It also reveals that how the redeemed are to respond to the Lord for redeeming them. The life that they are to live because God has redeemed them. So I want to speak this evening on the redeemed of the Lord and the life of redemption. Notice, first of all, this people referred to as the redeemed of the Lord. In those words, there is a people, there is an event, and there is a source of the event. We are the redeemed. The event, of course, is redemption. The one who redeemed or performed this act of redemption is the Lord. We are the redeemed of the Lord. None of us redeemed ourselves. No one else redeemed us. We are the redeemed of the Lord. That speaks of a favored people, the redeemed of the Lord. Not everyone is redeemed of the Lord. So we've been favored. We've been favored by God. These are a people who, of course, have experienced redemption. They have experienced a miracle in their lives. It is the redeemed of the Lord whom he hath redeemed. If you are the redeemed of the Lord, you don't even have to say whom he hath redeemed. Obviously, he's the one who redeemed. But that's the way it's written. And that is for emphasis. So that everyone knows he is the Redeemer. They are the redeemed of the Lord. That's a wonder. That's a great marvel. Because if you consider prior to their redemption, they were a people without God. Now they're the redeemed of the Lord. They were a people without Christ. Now they're the redeemed of the Lord. Prior to redemption, they lived their lives deceived and in ignorance. They lived their lives blind and hardened. And they were at enmity with God. And they were criminals against God, striving against God, rejectors of God, resistors of God. And yet, God is the one who redeemed these people. They were his enemies, and he redeemed them. It's a great wonder. God is holy. These people are unrighteous. They're ungodly. They're unprofitable. They lived and wallowed in the disgrace of sin. And yet, holy God redeemed these people. So it's no wonder the psalmist begins with, he is good. He is good. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. So you have this people, the redeemed. There's also an event. The redeemed of the Lord whom he hath redeemed. To redeem is to buy. To redeem is to purchase. So these that are redeemed have been bought. There's been a price paid for them. It's referred to in the Bible as a ransom. As a ransom. In Isaiah 52 and 3, we read that we are redeemed without money. Again, redeemed means to be bought. When you think of buying something, you usually think of money. But we were redeemed without money. Because there wasn't enough money to purchase redemption. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, which again is just another way of saying we were redeemed without money. But then he goes on to say, but something had to be paid. Something had to be paid. But with the precious blood of Christ. What that means is that the precious blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, made restitution for the souls of the redeemed. The blood of Christ has been given in exchange. If you are the redeemed of the Lord, the blood of Christ has been given in exchange for your soul. So the redeemed of the Lord, has the redeemed of the Lord, you are bought, you are paid for, by the blood of Jesus Christ. What that means is that Jesus Christ made amends for your soul, the redeemed of the Lord. What a wonderful thing to be a part of the redeemed of the Lord. It's something that we ought to think about every day. I am of the redeemed of the Lord. And all the emotions that ought to be stirred at just the thought of being the redeemed of the Lord. So again, notice those words, the redeemed. The redeemed. They've been bought. They've been paid for. They've been delivered. They've been rescued. They've been freed. If you are of the redeemed of the Lord, that means that you have been liberated from what you could not free yourself from. If you could free yourself, there's no need for a redeemer. But you couldn't free yourself. So there's a necessity of a redeemer. The redeemed. These have been recovered from something. They have been renewed. They've been restored. They've been fixed, if you will. They've been mended. They've been spared. They've been pardoned. They've been spared and pardoned from what they were in. The redeemed of the Lord, whom He hath redeemed. So it's an event. It means it's something that happened. Which means there was a time when it happened. If you are of the redeemed of the Lord, the event of redemption took place at a certain time in your life. You were not born redeemed of the Lord. You were not raised redeemed of the Lord. It is an event that transpired in your life which requires a time, also requires a place. Everyone who is redeemed of the Lord experienced an event, the event of redemption. They did so at a certain time and they did so in a certain place. So it is a personal experience. Even if there were 100 other people who were redeemed the same day you were, it's still personal. It's a personal redemption. And it is an absolutely miraculous event. It is something that is incredible. Redeemed of the Lord. The fact that He would redeem us is incredible. The power it took to redeem us is incredible and mind-boggling. So all the joy that ought to be ours, to just be a part of the redeemed of the Lord. So you have a people, the redeemed. You have an act or an event, redemption. And then there's a doer of the event or a source of the event. We are not redeemed of ourselves. We're not redeemed of the church. We're not the redeemed of religion. We're not the redeemed of some system of doctrine. We are the redeemed of the Lord, whom, that is the redeemed, He, the Lord, hath redeemed. So who's the source? Who's the reason for this redemption? The Lord. He's the source of it. May I say, he's also the originator of it. It was his plan to redeem. He's the producer of it. He's the reason for the redemption. If you are the redeemed of the Lord, there's only one reason that you were redeemed. And that reason is him. He's the reason. It's not due to grandma or grandpa. It's not due to mom and dad. It's not due to some preacher or Sunday school teacher. It's the redeemed of the Lord, whom he hath. The word hath, again, the verb, it's something God did. Whom he hath redeemed. Doesn't say whom he hath assisted in redemption. Whom he hath redeemed. When the Lord saved your soul, he didn't assist you in being saved. He saved you. He didn't just give you an opportunity. He saved you. Whom he hath redeemed. It's not that he just gave us the opportunity to walk out of the prison, but whom he hath redeemed. He's the source. Outside of him, redemption doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. There's no redemption outside of him. And it's stated over and over throughout the psalm that he is the Redeemer. Again, it's stated right there in verse 2, whom he hath redeemed. And then in verse 3, it says, and gathered them out. In verse 6, he delivered them out. In verse 7, he led them forth. In verse 13, he saved them out of. In verse 14, he brought them out. In verse 16, he hath broken. And in verse 19, he saveth them out of. And in verse 20, he sent, healed, and delivered. And in verse 28, he bringeth them out. And in verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm. And in verse 30, he bringeth them into the desired haven. Over and over and over, he did something. He redeemed. And all of those words that he uses, gathered, delivered, saved, brought, led, they all speak of the same act. The act of redemption. So in each case, he, referring to the Lord, is followed by a verb. That is, something he did. Something that he did. He is the producer of redemption. He's the doer. He's the accomplisher of redemption. Therefore, we read in Isaiah 49 and 26, I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer. If he is your Savior, that means he's the one who saved. If he is your Redeemer, that means he is the one who redeemed. Again, it's our little soapbox. It's, I didn't get saved, he saved me. I didn't get redeemed. He redeemed me. Give him all the glory. I'm not going to give it the glory. I'm going to give him the glory. Job 19 and 25. My Redeemer. My Redeemer. That means he's the one who redeemed me. 2 Samuel 7 verse 23. And what nation in the earth is like thy people? whom God went to redeem. And then it says, for a people to himself. God not only redeemed us, but he redeemed us to be a people to himself. So he didn't just set us free to live like we please and to wander wherever. But he redeemed us to be a people to himself. So what a wonderful thing to be of the redeemed of the Lord. And the psalmist throughout this 107th psalm illustrates this event of redemption. And in each illustration, we that are redeemed can see ourselves in the illustration. We can see ourselves in the picture. In verse 2, we see a people loosed from the grip of an enemy power. Redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The enemy is Satan. Satan is an irreconcilable enemy. We were redeemed from the hand of Satan. A stronger than Satan came upon him. And we were loosed from his grip. We were redeemed from the enemy of sin. This is a very corrupting and destroying enemy. We were redeemed from the enemy of death. Satan, sin, death had taken hold of us, had seized us. We were in the firm grip of Satan, sin, and death. But someone stronger than Satan, someone stronger than sin, someone stronger than death came and set us free from the grip of the enemy. And if you've never experienced that, you need to know that right now you are in the clutch of the enemy. Right now you are in the clutch of an enemy power. And can you feel that? Can you feel the enemy squeezing? An inescapable grip. You can't get out of that grip. There isn't anyone here that can loose that grip for you. But know this, there is one who can. There is a Redeemer. Verse 3, we see a people dispersed as outcasts, scattered throughout Satan's kingdom. If you're here and unsaved, that's your condition today. You are scattered throughout Satan's kingdom. And you can't escape. You're a captive. And there's no one who can enable you to escape. There's no one who can deliver you. He gathered them out. The Lord's the only one who can gather these people out of Satan's kingdom. Then, of course, in verses 4 through 7, we see they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary or a very desolate way. Picture an illustration of a people lost. They're not only lost, but they're just kind of wandering aimlessly in a scorched and trackless desert. There's no way out. They wander and wander and wander. Everything looks the same. They can't get out. They can't find their way out. There's no city to dwell in. That is, there is no place of refuge. There's no place of shelter in that wilderness. It also says that they are hungry and thirsty and their soul fainted in them. Again, they're looking for rest. And there are many today wandering in this wilderness. They're looking for rest. But they're not going to find where they're looking. But they become hungry and thirsty. And their soul becomes faint. They're wasting away. But the Redeemer comes into that wilderness. And he takes them by the hand. And in verse 7 it says, he led them forth by the right way. Do you remember that day? That's an event. Do you remember the day when the Lord, the Redeemer, came into the wilderness, took you by the hand, and led you out? He didn't just point and say, go that way. He led you forth. That's our Redeemer. We, the redeemed of the Lord, he says he led them forth by the right way to a city of habitation. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that time? We were restless. We were lost. We were destitute. Wandering hopelessly and aimlessly in search of what only God could give. And God came where we were and led us out. From a barren wilderness to the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. If you've never experienced that, Jesus Christ coming into the wilderness and leading you out, you're still in that wilderness. You're not only in it, but you're lost in it. And you can't get out. In all your wanderings, you will not stumble upon a way out. There is no way out other than the Redeemer. So you need to know there is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. In verses 10 through 14, there is a people that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in affliction. They're imprisoned. Not only are they imprisoned, but they're doomed to die. They're in the shadow of death. The Redeemer comes into that prison cell. And we read in verse 14, he brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death. It doesn't just say that he provided them a way to get out. He brought them out. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death. It doesn't say he gave them the keys for the chains, but he broke their bands in sunder. He did it all. We, the redeemed of the Lord, we were in that prison. Our minds, our wills, our affections, our entire being was under the dominion of sin. And God came into our prison cell and broke those chains. And he brought us out. He brought us out of the prison. If you've never experienced that, you're still in that prison. And you're in a prison that you cannot escape. You can spend the rest of your life looking for a way out of that prison. But there's only one way out. And that's if the Redeemer comes to you and sets you free. Verses 17 through 20, as we saw this morning, there's a diseased and deteriorating people. They're on the brink of death. In verse 20, we read, he sent his word and healed them. Do you remember that day when he sent his word? And it came in healing power. He sent his word and healed them. It's not just he sent his word and left it up to them. He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions, plural. So the redeemed of the Lord, we were diseased, we were plagued with sin, filled with misery, filled with torment, withering away, dying. God sent His word, and we were healed, and we were delivered from our destructions, from the things that would have destroyed us. God not only redeemed our soul, He redeemed our life. He saved our life. Had we remained there, we would have been destroyed. But He redeemed us from our destructions. And again, if you've never experienced that, you're still diseased with sin, and it's a deadly disease. It's a disease that man cannot heal. It's a disease that man doesn't even recognize. The disease of sin. You know, every time there's a school shooting, here we go. Here we go. It's the gun's fault. We got to do something about the guns. That's not the problem. It's a sin problem. It's a disease. It's a sickness. Society will not recognize that. And even if they did recognize it, they don't have the answer for it. God's the only redeemer, the only healer of sin. So you see, society misdiagnoses the real problem. The problem is sin. People are sick. They need a doctor. They need a physician. They that are whole do not need a physician. Those who think they're whole, they don't go to the doctor. It's the sick that need a physician. If you've never experienced this healing, you're sick. You have a disease. It's a deadly disease. You're going to die from it. And it's the worst death that an individual can die. Can you feel the sickness? You know, most people walk around with this disease and they can't even feel it. They can't feel the sickness and the plague of sin that's taking away their life. The plague of sin is taking away their life. And they don't feel it. They don't see it. If that's you tonight, there is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. Verse 26 through 30, we see a life-threatened people under the control of a storm. We read in verse 29, He maketh the storm a calm. It's not that they waited out the storm. It's not that they eventually persevered through the storm. He made the storm a calm. He did it. In verse 30, He bringeth them into their desired haven, a place of safety. We, the redeemed, God came and calmed the storm. Worst storm that there is, the storm of sin. And God came and calmed the storm and brought us to safety. If you've never experienced that, you're still in that storm. You still are. But the good news is, there is a Redeemer. There is one who can calm the storm. An umbrella is not going to do you any good in this storm. It's just like if you're on a ship out in the middle of the sea and you're caught in those waves, an umbrella is not going to do you a bit of good. And people are caught in the storm of sin, and out come their umbrellas. It's not going to help you any. There's only one who can, and that's God as a Redeemer. So there we were in the land of the enemy, trapped in enemy territory, lost in the wilderness of sin. God came to us and did what only God can do. And because of Him, we have been delivered from the grip of the enemy. We have been brought out from the entrapment of the enemy's land. We've been rescued from the wilderness and set free from the dark dungeon of sin. We've been healed of a deadly disease. We've been rescued from a life-threatening storm. The redeemed of the Lord, look at where the Lord has brought you from. Look at what God has brought you from. And again, He did it. So that should compel us to live like the redeemed of the Lord. Should the redeemed live like those who have never been redeemed? Or should the redeemed live differently? Do the redeemed want to go back to that wilderness? Do they want to go back to that dungeon? Do they want to feel that disease of sin? Do they want to be caught in the storm? Do they want to go back to the enemy's hand? Do they long for those things? I don't think so. The redeemed are different. They're different. So let's look briefly at the life that we are to live. Again, it starts out, "Oh!" It's a life lived with an exclamation point. Before we were redeemed, there in the enemy's hand, there in Satan's territory, there in the wilderness, there in the dungeon, plagued with sin, trapped out at sea. Were we excited about that? Those who are imprisoned, they don't live with a note of exclamation. The redeemed are to live with a note of exclamation. Our lives are to be one of pleasure. My life is different. That ought to give us pleasure. It's a life of joy. It's a life of exhilaration. Life of eagerness. We see also it's a life of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks. That's the expression or the act of gratitude. Before you can express gratitude, you have to have gratitude in your heart. In order to express appreciation, you have to have appreciation in your heart. So, give thanks unto the Lord. It ought to be our habit to give thanks unto the Lord. It ought to be normal for us to give thanks unto the Lord. There ought to be a thankfulness within us. And then there ought to be the expression of that thankfulness. I belong to the redeemed of the Lord. How can we not say, "Thank you, Lord"? Thank you, Lord, for redeeming me. We live every day and we see people that are unredeemed. They're in the prison cells. They're in the hand of the enemy. And we ought to think, "Thank you, Lord, for redeeming me. I'm not any better than them because I didn't do anything to redeem myself. He redeemed me. So all I can say is thank you, Lord. It's a life of praise in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. It is said in an emotional tone. Oh! Oh! That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works. What are His wonderful works? The works of redemption. It's the work of the Lord. And in verse 32, we read, praise Him. To praise is to express and display adoration for the Lord. Even if our circumstances are horrible, doesn't change this fact that I am the redeemed of the Lord. And I am to praise Him for that. It's to pay tribute to Him. It's to give Him honor. It's to reverence Him for redeeming our souls. So I belong to the redeemed of the Lord. Therefore, my life is to be marked by praise to the Redeemer. To the Redeemer. Man gets credit for a lot of things that he has nothing to do with. God's the Redeemer. God gets blamed for a lot of things that he didn't do. We give credit to the wrong people, we blame the wrong ones. We're to praise the Lord. It's a life of worship. Verse 22, it says, and let them, that's the redeemed, sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. That's worship. Verse 32, it says, let them exalt Him. Also in the congregation of the people. There's an important word there. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation. We're to exalt Him outside of the congregation. And then when we congregate, we're again to exalt Him also in the congregation. The truth is, if people worship God through the week, it wouldn't be so difficult to worship when we congregate. The reason people struggle with worship when they congregate is because they haven't worshiped God all through the week, and you cannot just walk in those doors and turn on worship. Doesn't happen. Never has happened. Never will happen. But we're the redeemed of the Lord. And we're to worship God every day. Every day. We're to worship Him. People say, well, I don't have to go to church to worship God. That's true. But let's be honest. Those who say that, they don't worship God. And even if you, it's true you don't have to be in church. But when there's a special time for people to congregate to worship, the redeemed of the Lord ought to want to be there. To worship with others who have been redeemed. So it's a life of worship. Worship is the event of drawing near to God. If you worship, you draw near to God. You don't draw further from God. Worship always brings us nearer to God. So the redeemed of the Lord worship God. They're always being brought closer to the Lord. They want to be closer to the Lord. Worship is a life of declaring God. It is stated in verse 1, He is good, His mercy endureth forever. And then in relation to that, we read in verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, the Lord is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That is, we're to speak of His goodness, of His mercy in redeeming us. We're to declare it. It's not a secret. We have been redeemed of God. It's not a secret. Now, if you personally escaped, you might need to keep that a secret. But you didn't escape. You were redeemed. It's not a secret. We're to speak it. We're to declare it. We're to announce it. That the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. You get around somebody and all they want to do is curse God. The redeemed of the Lord need to say, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. We're to express it. We're to indicate it. That the Lord is good. In other words, we're to declare who God is. He's the one who redeemed us. If anyone else is going to be redeemed, He's the one that's going to redeem them also. So we must declare who He is. It's a life of dependence upon God. Verse 6, verse 13, 19, and 28. Then they cried unto the Lord. When they were brought to the end of themselves, this is how God saves a sinner. He brings a sinner to the end of themselves. And then they cry unto the Lord. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God redeems. It's God who brings us to the end of ourselves. It's God who puts that cry in us. That's why for many reasons it's terrible, but just repeat these words. Just call on the name of the Lord. You'll be saved. Well, you need to take that in the context. The Philippian jailer was brought to the end of himself. He was ready to kill himself. That's brought to the end of yourself. What must I do to be saved? He's already brought to the end of himself. Call on the name of the Lord. You tell somebody to call on the name of the Lord that hasn't been brought to the end of himself, it's a sham. It means nothing. All you have to do is repeat this prayer. You've got to be brought to the end of yourself. Lord's dealing with somebody, they don't come down the aisle chewing gum and laughing and grinning. It's not how it works. The Lord brings them to the end of themselves. It's a life of focus upon God. And all these things we've mentioned so far, where's the focus? Thanksgiving, praise, worship, declaring Him. He's the focus. Redeemed of the Lord are to live their lives focused upon God. So isn't it wonderful to be able to identify with that statement, the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord. How amazing, how marvelous. To be redeemed of the Lord. How humbling to be redeemed of the Lord. And as such, our life is to be for Him. Our life is to be a decided life for Him. People say, well, your religion makes you live such and such a way. No, no it doesn't. My life isn't based on the rules of religion. It's based on the fact that He redeemed me. Therefore, We don't want to do things that displease the one who redeemed us. Therefore, we want to call attention to Him. Now you think about it. There's people who say, well, I just don't like to talk about it. Really. You've been set free from the worst dungeon that there is in a miraculous way. And you don't want to talk about it. That seems strange. Well, I don't want to talk about the one who redeemed me. Really? Someone saved your life. Don't tell me that you wouldn't tell others. That man saved my life. You know good and well you'd tell others. And you wouldn't be ashamed of it either. He saved my life. Why wouldn't you be ashamed of it? Because it's real. Because you know that man saved my life. Art Gunnell saved my life. And you'd say the name. Art Gunnell saved my life. You wouldn't be ashamed of it. So why are people ashamed to say, Jesus saved me? Is it because perhaps He didn't? I think that's a very real possibility. You wouldn't be ashamed under any other circumstance if it was man. So if a person is ashamed to say, the Lord saved my soul, I think you have every reason to question whether or not He has. Perhaps it's just something you heard about. And you thought, you know, that sounds pretty good. But I'm here to tell you, if the Lord came and redeemed you, you don't have any problem telling anybody, the Lord saved my soul. At this time, in this place, the Lord saved my soul. People will say, well, you can't say that here. I can say it anywhere I want. Lord, save my soul. Lord, save my soul. Nothing to be ashamed of. But glorify Him. So tomorrow morning when we wake up, if we're redeemed now, we'll wake up as the redeemed of the Lord. And we'll go through the day as the redeemed of the Lord. That puts a responsibility on us. We are to live our lives as the redeemed of the Lord. No one should be able to look at our life and not see that we're different from those who are in that dungeon. They ought to see a difference. Why would you want to be? Why would you want to be like those in the dungeon? Why would you want to be those who are plagued with sin? Why would you want to be wandering in that world? Why would you want to go back there? You don't. You don't want anything to do with it. What a blessing to be the redeemed of the Lord. The very word redeemed necessitates a redeemer. You cannot be redeemed without a redeemer. And the redeemer is the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.